Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation this morning is the Gospel lesson read before in Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16, which I would read again, especially as follows. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord and Savior, beloved hearers of His Word. When a person works hard day after day in his earthly calling or occupation, he does so with the understanding that his diligent efforts, that his good stewardship of time on the job, and his faithful hard work will be repaid in kind, in fitting wages and benefits, as we commonly say today. This is not only a completely reasonable expectation on the worker's part, but is based upon a moral principle of God's Word, namely that the laborer is worthy of his hire. Luke 10, verse 7. In fact, the Lord Himself warns those who engage the services of others, woe unto him that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. Jeremiah 22, verse 13. Thus God forbids us to take advantage of our neighbor by getting him to work for us, and then defrauding him of just compensation. We call that freeloading in our common everyday language today. Such unfair labor practices are condemned by God in His holy seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." But while work and merit and just compensation have their rightful place in the temporal realm, we find a situation quite different in the spiritual realm. For there, we are not dealing with a trade-off of labor for wages as we do with our employers. But we deal with the awesomely unequal relationship of the sinner to God, of the hopelessly bankrupt debtor to his justly demanding creditor. Therefore, the Bible tells us, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Romans 3, verse 20. Our enormous debt to God cannot be repaid by our own efforts and by the wages, as it were, which we think of our good works as meriting in the sight of God. For he tells us in his word that we are saved not of works, lest any man should boast. The distinction between the temporal and the spiritual realms must therefore be strictly observed as we examine this morning Jesus' parable of the laborers in the vineyard. For its chief lesson or point of comparison concerns the kingdom of heaven, the spiritual realm. And if we keep that distinction in view, we will come to the inescapable conclusion that God's grace alone is the only way to heaven. We will see from this parable that the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, as the Apostle Paul calls it, is first of all universal, offered to all men in the gospel. Secondly, that it is completely free, bestowed upon sinful men as a gift, without consideration of work or merit. But thirdly, that the grace of God is resistible and it is rejectable by those who would rather be justified on the basis of their works rather than by the grace of God. Jesus begins his parable with a statement of comparison, which points his hearers in the direction in which he would lead them. There's no question as to whether this story teaches us about the temporal or spiritual realm, for Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder." Here we have pictured a kingdom which leads to heaven, but whose operative word is grace or gift. God's gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation to poor sinners in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, totally apart from any works or merit or worthiness of their own. The householder went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. The recruitment of workers into the vineyard in the earthly story that Jesus tells us here pictures to us the recruitment, as it were, of souls into the Lord's church. The calling of sinners to repentance and faith in the gospel. And by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit through that word, making them Jesus' disciples and heirs of everlasting life. We know, first of all, the striking manner in which the householder recruited his laborers. He did not merely post a help wanted sign on the bulletin board in the town square. He didn't expect the workers to come to him, as no doubt they would have if they really wanted to work, if they really had wanted a job, and if they really desired the benefits that he wanted to give them. But he went out to them. He approached them with his offer, and he kept up this active recruitment all day long, from 6 in the morning until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Just so the Lord Jesus, the true Lord of the vineyard, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he scours the highways and the hedges of this world for the spiritually poor, the spiritually maimed, the spiritually halt, or the poor lame ones that can't even walk, and the spiritually blind, those wretched outcasts who would be unable to save themselves, to bring also them into his gracious kingdom. By his Holy Spirit, through the gospel, the means of his grace, Jesus persistently comes to us in this time of grace, like the householder in our text. Not we to him. And it's a good thing that he does that, because as we confess with Martin Luther in the third article of our creed, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. He has offered me the unspeakable blessings which I would never seek on my own, the unspeakable blessings that I would never know but for the proclamation of the gospel. Moreover, the householder's offer was bona fide. It wasn't just a proverbial carrot on a stick, but this was a sincere and earnest offer to all alike. He excluded no one. He didn't say, now only the qualified are invited, or only the Jews are invited. Only this segment of society is invited, only the skilled. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, which sounds like a drop in the bucket in our language today, but a penny was a silver Roman coin called a denarius, which was a standard day's wages for unskilled labor. Or we might say today, the minimum wage for a day's work. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And those whom he hired later in the day, at 9 o'clock in the morning, at noon, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, though he did not mention a specific sum that he would pay them, he promised them, whatever is right, I will give you. Notice that the Lord of the vineyard was not intending to disenfranchise anybody. He wasn't intending to defraud anyone. And just so it is in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' call goes out to all alike, offering forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation to all in the word of the gospel. No conditions are attached. No one is excluded. For God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth of God's full and free, gracious forgiveness to all men for the sake of Christ, who died for all men, who is the propitiation of perfect compensation to God, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And no one is predestinated to damnation from the outset, excluded from employment, as we would say on the basis of this parable, as John Calvin taught. Only a certain percentage of those in the marketplace are eligible to work in my vineyard, and the rest of you can just remain unemployed. And notice how the householder gives special attention to reaching every man out of work, going out at all hours of the day to repeat his offer, even at the very last hour of the workday at 5 in the afternoon, to reach those either who had spurned his offer previously, earlier in the day, because they didn't want it, or those who perhaps as yet had not heard the offer. Just so patiently, just so painstakingly, the Lord seeks the prodigals and the latecomers and the stragglers to come to the knowledge of the truth. And even to those who ultimately reject his gracious call in unbelief, he will say, in sure evidence of his long-suffering patience, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, he will say, as he did to Israel, regarding Israel of old, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. All day long I have been there for you, and I have offered you my grace and mercy all day long in this time of grace. And to the city of Jerusalem, he said, how often would I have gathered thy children together? Not just once, how often? Even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Indeed, dear brethren, God's grace in Christ Jesus, offered in his precious gospel, is universal. It's offered to all men with the very same earnestness, sincerity, and patience. And that means, thanks be to God, that it is also offered to you and to me, who certainly deserve no special attention above other people in this world whom the heavenly householder calls. Go ye also into the vineyard, he tells you and me, even at this late hour, while it is still today, while it's still daylight, while the opportunity is still there, as the last day approaches. And whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Delay not, beloved, to answer quickly when he calls you, and to say with the hymn writer, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. The gospel of our Savior forces you, constrains you, moves you, and enables you to will and to do of His good pleasure, to come and to take this wonderful gift that is extended to you. But now, as the end of the workday approaches and darkness settles upon the vineyard, making further work impossible, we read in our text, "The Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward," to his paymaster, as it were, "call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." All those who had heeded the call into the vineyard, both those on the early shift and the late comers who started at 5 in the afternoon, were now summoned to receive their pay. When the night of our life comes, when it is appointed unto men to die, or should the last day dawn upon us first, when we can no longer labor in the Lord's vineyard, that is, when the opportunity to repent and to believe the gospel is past, when the time of grace has expired, we too will be summoned to appear before the heavenly householder to receive what we have been promised as laborers in his vineyard. And the Lord Jesus gave us this parable for our learning, so that we will be prepared for that great and glorious day, ready to receive in humility, in gratitude, in joy and praise to God, the rewards of His grace. For if we reacted to those rewards according to our flesh, according to the old man of sin that still lurks within us, we would do exactly the same thing as those other workers. We would murmur against the goodman of the house, as we observe in this parable many of those laborers doing in our text. When they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny, a full day's wages. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Notice how differently the Lord deals with us in the spiritual realm than we deal with one another in the temporal realm here in this world. In the temporal realm, everybody expects to receive in direct proportion to his labor, to his effort, to his seniority, to his skill, to his time on the clock, to his achievement. But in the spiritual realm, in the kingdom of heaven, works are not counted for justification before God, because our works only condemn us, being so imperfect and corrupted with sin as they are. Rather, God rewards us according to His grace in Christ Jesus, according to His free gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation to all mankind. The gift which our Savior purchased and won for us, not with gold or silver, not with denarii, not with pennies, but with His holy precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death, as He died for all. All who cling in faith to Him as their Redeemer receive the very same benefit of God's grace, totally apart from their own merit. No matter how long they have been Christians, no matter how faithfully they have labored in His vineyard here in this world, no matter how much of the burden and heat of the day they have borne over many, many years in comparison with other people. For that is what it means to be saved by grace, not of works, lest so that not any man should boast. Free gifts are not earned by their recipients. Free gifts are purchased and won by someone else. And the grace of God, in this case, is purchased and won by Christ our Savior, whose righteousness alone avails before God, whose holy, precious blood paid the price of our redemption. And yet, as inconceivable as this may seem to those who humbly rejoice in salvation by grace, consider themselves fortunate indeed to have been given the grace of God that bringeth salvation, many who heard the precious gospel, many who have known the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, many even who have served Him for a time in His vineyard by faith in His Son, will be lost forever, having rejected justification by grace through faith in their Savior, in favor of justification by works and merits and the worthiness of their own. The Savior shows us this unhappy, yea, tragic end as a special warning to us as He concludes the parable in our text. We read that when the first hired laborers received exactly what they had been promised, namely a full day's wages, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, "These lasts, these Johnnies come lately, have wrought but 1 hour. They haven't even suffered any sunburn out here in the end of the day. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." We deserve more. We've worked harder, we have worked longer, and we have endured much more grief in your vineyard than these guys have. And you give them the same as you give to us? But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee." Now think of it, dear hearers. Those who had once heeded the call to be on the Savior's payroll, as it were, in the kingdom of grace, instead of being grateful for His goodness, for His mercy, for His undeserved kindness to the likes of them, for His grace to them, instead of rejoicing in salvation by grace for themselves, instead of rejoicing in the salvation by grace of others also, of those who did not have the advantage of longevity in the Savior's service, who did not have the security throughout their lives of working in His vineyard under His gracious guiding hand, instead of rendering him thanks and praise for his rich grace to them and to all men, these ungrateful and selfish laborers whined and complained that the goodman of the house was unfair. That the goodman of the house was unjust. And they began to demand rewards, not of grace, but rewards according to their own works and merit. Now, in the temporal realm, one would say, well, they had a point, you know. The goodman of the house, the lord of the vineyard, was guilty of unfair labor practices. Equal pay for equal work was not what was going down here. But would they really end up better compensated according to works and according to God's grace in the spiritual realm? St. Paul writes in Romans 4, verses 4 and 5, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Those who insist on being rewarded by God according to their own merit and worthiness remain in debt to him, for their debt will never be paid on that basis. For the Bible says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. But to the sinner who despairs of his own worthiness and clings instead to the merits of Christ, for whose sake God justifieth not the good guys but the ungodly, Paul says his faith is counted for righteousness. The righteousness that avails before God. The righteousness that counts. Christ's perfect righteousness, which is our own personal possession by confidence in his merits, by confidence in his sacrifice. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Doesn't God have the right to justify poor, wretched, and unworthy sinners for the sake of Christ's perfect propitiation if that's what he wants to do? Is thine eye evil because I am good? To murmur against God because of his free and universal grace to fallen mankind is evil of the worst sort and displays the rankest ingratitude for the grace of God. For thus to despise the grace of God that bringeth salvation brings upon such ingrates God's wrath and displeasure. What a horrible, unthinkable end for those who had the spiritual advantages of grace in the vineyard of their Savior all through their lives, but to end up last in the outer darkness of everlasting damnation. We have all those advantages, brethren, even now in the vineyard of our Savior. We have God's precious word in its truth and purity, the word that saves the soul, the faithful teaching and application of his word in a congregation where we are privileged to assemble together regularly and consistently to have our faith strengthened and preserved in us by the gospel. We have a fellowship of dear brethren bound together in the unity of the Spirit and so many other blessings at God's gracious hand. let us not fail of the grace of God. Let us not fail diligently to heed the Savior's warning in this parable, not to take His grace for granted, not to shelve the gift of His grace in preference for justification by works. Rather, as laborers in His vineyard, knowing who the boss is, knowing the wonderful terms that He has given us in the gospel, salvation full and free, the same for everybody alike, let us hold fast to Him in steadfast and grateful faith, not looking for personal recognition and praise, not looking down upon those who have not borne the burden and heat of the day, who only recently have come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. Not, certainly not seeking God's reward reckoned according to our miserable works of imperfection, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, in gratitude for His grace. Humbly confessing with St. Paul concerning our labors in the Savior's vineyard, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yea, not I, but the grace of God which is with me. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.